Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Malachi, the fourth chapter. And this morning we're going to look at what exactly is doctrine and why it is so important to us. For our text, we're going to read from Malachi, the fourth chapter, and beginning at verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb out of all Israel, with all the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have read two things here. Number one, that you would send the spirit of Elijah, a ministry that would bring us, restore the hearts of the children to the fathers. And we believe, Father, with all our hearts, that that is the doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, the doctrine of the apostles. And had it not been for that, the earth would be destroyed with a curse. And yet, Father, we recognize that your word has come forth, your doctrine has been restored, your children have been restored to that doctrine, and yet we see also now the curse coming. So we realize, Father, we are at the end of the end, and Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be prepared for that which is to be. And Father, restore to us, Lord, as Jesus said, the glory that he had before with thee, before the foundation of the world. We pray that you would open our hearts and our eyes and our minds and our entire being to that glory, that doxa, that opinion, that values, and the judgments, that we might receive a transformation of the bodies in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Now, now, as we've read this morning, the spirit of Elijah is to come to restore the hearts of the children to their fathers. The heart means understanding. Anytime you read the word heart in the scripture, it refers to the understanding. And now that we've looked at this, we've seen it fulfilled in William Branham. And what we see is the spirit of Elijah was to come in this age and a man who would turn the hearts of the children to their fathers, the apostolic fathers. That means we are to be returned to the apostolic doctrine. Brother Branham said in his sermon, "Sir, we would see Jesus." He said, "The Word and Christ is the same. Then if the Word promises the Word that is that this is to happen in the last days, the spirit of Elijah is even to return in the last days, that's right, upon the people, and he's to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers." That's the doctrine, the principles of the Bible. So we're looking at doctrine and principles. They've got away in denomination, organization, and the great power of God is to come upon the people with a master of peace that'll send their hearts back to remembering that he still remains God. He is God. And again, from his sermon, Souls in Prison Now, Brother Branham said, notice the Holy Spirit promised that it's fitting to the time that we're living in. There must be someone rise up that's got to come, for it's thus saith the Lord. Malachi, the fourth chapter, that's exactly what he said would be the sign just before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. I'll send you Elijah. And what will he do? He'll turn the hearts of the children back to the doctrine of the fathers. Back to the doctrine, out of those denominational differences, and come back to the Bible, back to God. Is that what he would do? And so we see Brother Branham said that Christ is a doctrine in the seals. And he also said any church without doctrine is not a church at all. And he's also said that a man without a doctrine has no ministry. So a church must have doctrine, and that's what these men have turned away from. Now, and the reason why God promised this in his word is because the people had gotten away from the apostles' doctrine. Brother Branham said from his sermon called Why, he said, "I said, we are born from above heavenly, where purity and holiness and righteousness and honesty, yes, I said, therefore those who profess that look not upon the things of the world, but we plainly say by our lives and the way that we live that we have a God. We have a kingdom. We have a place that we're going. And this is not our home." Amen. My, I like that. I begin to feel pretty religious right now. Yes, sir, I believe in the old-time Holy Ghost salvation. Oh, brother, sister, it does something for you. The same God that lived one time still lives today. His same doctrine of holiness just lives tonight, the same as it ever lived, just the same thing. Yes, sir. Notice the people has got away from the doctrine of it. That's all. Yes, now, yes, sir. So we see then that Brother Branham is letting us know the reason there's a falling away, it's got to be falling away from something. And he said they fell away from the doctrine. Now, I know that people would rather have music and good time and, you know, everything be social and everything like that, but that's not going to save you. Morals doesn't save you. Paul said the doctrine is what saves you. You see? Now, way of a true prophet, Brother Branham says, see, they're off of the foundation with which Paul said that the Bible speaks that the church of God is founded upon the doctrine of the apostles and prophets. The prophets and apostles has to be the same. Sure. What? We went off of the foundation of the word to denominational foundations. Listen now, in closing, put on your spiritual hearing aid. Listen, we've got off the foundation of the word and on the foundation of a denomination. How long could I stay on that? Another 3 hours. Off of the foundation of the word onto the foundation of worldly pleasure, worldliness, immorals creeping into the church, off of the word onto creeds. That's what would take me 3 weeks to preach that through halfway. Then them four comments right there. Off the word, onto denomination. Denomination and word. As soon as the church denominates, it's off the word right then. So we're looking at something that took place over the last 2,000 years. They drifted away. Remember, it began in Paul's age. He said they lost their first love. So you see, the doctrine of Christ is the apostles' doctrine. And it is the foundation on which we are built. And the Apostle Paul said that no other foundation can be built than that which has been built, which is Christ Jesus. But they have gotten away from that foundation, and the church no longer focuses on Christ, but on fellowship and social gatherings, fellowship and moral living. And they have forgotten that no man can come to God except through the doctrine of Christ. And he said, and if you don't have the doctrine, you don't have God. So it all comes down to one thing. There's a door, and that's Christ. And you've got to come through that door, and that door is doctrine. You see? Therefore, in the fifth seal, Brother Branham said, the Bible says the foundation of God is built upon the doctrine of the apostles. And speaking of America, he said in his sermon, The Breach, which is tied with the seals because it came before the seals, he said, we were founded upon the doctrine of the apostles. We were founded upon leadership of great men like Washington and Lincoln. But we have moved off of that foundation, and we know that we've got it coming. We know that an atomic bomb's got our name wrote on it. We know that that slavery lays ahead of us. Well, I never saw that one before. Slavery lays ahead of us. No need of fooling yourself. I guess that's part of Deuteronomy 28, isn't it? The slavery. You know, others will rise up above you. And again, in God and Simplicity, which is tied with the seals, he said, we are the continuation of the doctrine of the apostles. We are. We are the continuation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all the things that the early church stood for. That's us. And from way of a true prophet, he said, upon this foundation alone, God builds his church upon the doctrine of the apostles. And in a sermon, Restoration of the Bride Tree, Brother Branham tells us that the caterpillar and the locust ate the doctrine away from the church until there was no life left in the church. You remember in Amos or Joel, it says, you know, that what the caterpillar didn't eat, the locust did, what the locust didn't eat, you know, and these bugs, whatever they were, tools of Satan. But it ate away from the bark, you know, ate away the leaf, ate away the life, Brother Branham says. In paragraph 143 of Restoration of the Bride Tree, he says, this is the apostolic doctrine, this is the Bible, this is the Holy Spirit. Every word of it's true, you just believe it and accept it, and don't take down on it, and watch every promise be fulfilled. The manifestation of God's present right now, if he isn't just as much God now as he was with the children of Israel as they crossed the Red Sea, he wouldn't be God. If he isn't the same God that fell on Pentecost, that he is right here today, he isn't the same God. Then there was no resurrection. And if he wasn't, and what good does the historical God do to you, or do for you, if he isn't the same God today? In fact, when Brother Branham talked to Brother Vail, when they're going over the Church Age book, he said, now Lee, he said, if they're just looking at it from a past tense, he said, there's no life in it. What good is it going to do the people? They've got to have present tense. They've got to have the God of now. See, he's the I am, not the I was. And then again, from paragraph 138 of Restoration of the Bride Tree, he says, God gives those apostles to set the church in order, and it's built upon the doctrine of the apostles, not upon Saint Boniface or some saint. It's contrary to the Word. So if it's built on the Word, the doctrine, not built on a saint, and Brother Branham, definitely, if anybody was a sanctified and set apart person, he was a sanctified and set apart person. He was a saint. Right? Well, the thing of it is, they're building the message on a man. And he said it's not built upon a man, it's not built upon a saint, it's built upon the doctrine. And the same thing with this message. It's not supposed to be built upon a man. It's not supposed to be built upon a personality of William Branham. It's supposed to be built upon the doctrine of Christ. The same doctrine the apostles taught was to be taught by the prophet of Malachi 4 with the spirit of Elijah upon him to return the children to the faith, to the doctrine of the apostles, of the fathers. Now when the voice spoke out, it did not say, as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall you forerun my second coming. It said, so shall your message forerun my second coming. Your message, as in doctrine. But they don't want the doctrine, and yet the doctrine is the very life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. But they would rather have social programs and good time rock and roll music and focus on the family and all those psychological and social programs which have nothing to do with the doctrine of Christ. They have nothing to do with salvation, nothing to do with redemption. They have nothing to do with God. Well, you say they have nothing to do with God. Morals doesn't have anything to do with God. No, it doesn't. The Muslims make their children behave better morally than the so-called Christian churches do today. Drove by a church the other day. Girls with, you know, looked like bikini underwear. Standing outside of the church. Short shorts. For some social thing going on at the church. Come in any way. They just come any old way. They don't realize the church is supposed to be where we go to meet God. You're going to go meet God immoral, indecent? Instead of focusing on Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, they focus on the family. They focus on social issues. They focus on group gatherings. They focus on all this other stuff. They want to focus on the family or focus on the church. But what good is it doing them? Where's their soul at the end of the day? The Muslim has less tolerance for sinful behavior and a rebellious heart than the so-called Christian church has today. So don't tell me morals is what the church should be teaching. Morals might help you to get along with your neighbor. It's not a bad thing, but it's not going to get you saved. Morals will never get you to heaven. There is only the only sacrifice that's acceptable to God is the blood of His Son. But the falling away from teaching the doctrine of Christ is what has destroyed Christianity today. Like Brother Branham said, it's become nothing but a lodge. And from his sermon, Restoration of the Bride Tree, Brother Branham said, now this little fellow started to destroying what? The cankerworm got into the bark. Watch what it did. It began to destroy the bark. What did it do? It made a natural church from a spiritual church. Yes, sir, it took away the true and gave it a false. Now remember the leaf, the fruit, the palm worm ate. The leaf, the locust eat. Now the bark, the covering, the religion, the doctrine. Yeah, the doctrine, the cankerworm got it. So the last thing that went was the doctrine, and that was the life, Brother Branham said. The leaf, the life. And that's because they left their first love. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4, 1-4, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His coming, and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, he said, look, just the very choice of words, they won't endure it, means it's going to be too much. Just a drag. Just church, just, you know. Just, and he says they won't endure it. But after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Tell us a story, Brother Branham. We love to hear stories. Tell us a good story and it'll satisfy us. The Apostle Paul said the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. So then what do they do instead? They turn to organization. They turn to programs. They turn to music. Now this brings us to point number one. So then what is doctrine? Well, Jesus said if a man shall know Him, he will know the doctrine. whether it comes from God or it comes from man. The doctrine is to know Christ. He is the doctrine. That's why it's called the doctrine of Christ. Amen? Well, John 7, verse 14 to 18, he says, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he taught. Oh, I thought Jesus just went around doing good things and helping old, little old ladies and across the street. And, you know, once in a while he got a little bit upset and so he turned over some money baskets. And no, he went to teach. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? How can you say he never learned? Just because he didn't go to your college, your school of education, doesn't mean he didn't learn. Brother Branham was one of the most learned men of this 20th century anyway, because he was there in the 20th century. He's self-learned. Well, what do you think of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs? They didn't go to college. They dropped out after a semester or two. You know, you sit under a guy who's never done, but he teaches. That's the problem with the universities today. They need to hire adjuncts. They need to hire people off, you know, that from industry. The leaders of industry, get them in to teach. John, you know that. Your best professors are guys who are hands-on. The ones, not the guy that's got his master's and his PhD, never worked a day in his life. Like we got in the White House, people that never work a day in their life, but now they're going to run the country. They're running it right into the ground. That's what they're running. You see, they don't want to, look. If you've never had to handle a payroll, how are you going to handle the payroll of the largest army in the world, or the largest government in the world? How are you going to do it without defaulting? And that's what they're doing. They're defaulting, borrowing money, print money. And the whole thing, listen, I don't want to get into politics, but this thing is going downhill in a handbasket. You know, Deuteronomy 28, you keep going back. I don't care. People can look for things coming in the skies, planets, whatever coming. I don't care about that. It's not that. It's God. He said, turn down the voice, and what happens? There's curses. Well, what are those curses? Just read them. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's not just stop at, it doesn't just stop at the economy. Listen, the food's going to get turned to cankers. The bodies are going to turn to cankers. The whole thing's coming down, brother, sister. They're already having food riots all over the world. It's at epidemic proportions. And you don't think it's going to head this way? What happened when Joplin, Missouri had a tornado come through? You talk about looting. What about Katrina? Looting. Every place there's been something like that takes place, looting after looting after looting. A few disgruntled people, they burn a few buildings over in England. But what happens? They loot. And you think that you're going to be able to get in there and get some food? I don't think you got the muscle to do it. Nor the will to get in there and fight like an animal. Was it last year that some Walmart employee got trampled to death because they literally busted down the doors and came running in? Killed the man? Because why? Greed. What can I get for $15 that would have cost me $25? So you save $10. You know, it's incredible the insanity that's going on. But you know what? Brother Brown said there come to time that only the elect would have the mind of Christ. She'd be the only one that has the right mind. It's everywhere. It's coming. Now look, what he said here. If a man will do God's will know the doctrine. Jesus answered and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether it be of I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Notice, if any man will do God's will, he will know the doctrine. And the Apostle Paul taught us that the doctrine is instruction and teaching. In 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And if it's God-breathed, it came out of the mouth of God, right? That's why it's called the voice of God. And is profitable for doctrine. And for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So what is the word for? It's for doctrine and reproof and correction. And instruction in righteousness. It's not just so that we can read some stories, bedtime stories to the children. It's not just so that we can have a little bit better morals than the next denomination down the road. It's to make us into the image of the Son of God. In Titus 2, 1 to 15, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." He's instructing Titus. "Speak the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Now listen, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What he's saying is, listen, learn to control your tongue. You get that urge on you to pass along a piece of juicy information about somebody, drop it. Bite the tongue. It's not doing you any good, and eventually it's going to be made known. Then you got egg all over your face, and you have to come forward and make restitution. "That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." What does that mean? Having your thoughts connected. A sober man, he's disconnected. He's got different thought. One minute he's thinking this, next minute he's just not focused. Young men, be focused. Focused on what? On getting prepared to go home. Be sober-minded. "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works." That's young men. Pattern of good works. "In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, to please them well in all things, not answering again." Don't talk back to your boss. "Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." And what did he start with? He said, look, by speaking the doctrine soundly, you're going to be able to produce these qualities in these people. Because they're going to receive it soundly. Abraham's cousin, what was his name? Lot. When Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, I'm having a senior moment here. Sorry about that. When Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah, his son-in-laws said he seemed as one who mocked. Therefore, they didn't leave. Now, what does mocking mean? It's an imitator. A mockingbird imitates other birds. He mocked. That's just Lot. You know, one day he sits in the gate. He's not in the city. He's not out of the city. He's kind of in the world, halfway in the world, halfway out of the world. Why should I believe his report? Right? And what happened? They lost their lives because of it, because of his testimony. That's why we as young men ought to be great, have full gravity and sober. You know, we should be sober in our walk. You see? In Deuteronomy 32, verse 1 to 2, we read, God, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and give ear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as a dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as a shower upon the grass. And why does God describe then his doctrine as rain? Because the rain is God's blessing upon the earth to bring an increase to the seed that are in the earth, so that they come to full maturity. And that is what the doctrine is supposed to do. It is to bring the children of God to full maturity, that they might manifest Christ. From Colossians 3 and 1, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, when he shall Phanerut, when he shall manifest in his true character, then shall we appear, then shall we manifest in our true character with him in the same glory, in the same opinion, the same values, the same judgment. You see, that's what it's all about. And you don't get that from just osmosis. The doctrine is to be studied. It's rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's the same thing that Jesus prayed for John, or prayed for us in John 17, that we might be one with God, even as He is one with God. And He said to the Father that I have. He said to the Father, I have given them Thy glory, Thy opinions, Your values, Your judgments, that they might be one, even as You and I are one. And we know that the glory again is that which makes us who we are. It shapes and molds your character. In the book of Acts, we see right after the people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that they began to assemble together around the doctrine. It was not a person or personality that they assembled around, but to hear the doctrine and discuss the doctrine, and in doing so, it created an atmosphere and many miracles took place. I believe why we have many miracles take place overseas is because the whole meetings are focused on the doctrine, getting our focus on Christ. The reason why you don't see the supernatural take place in the churches in this country is because right after church, everybody goes out and it's just social. They forget about the sermon and they begin talking about just every other little thing. And they just leave the presence of God back in the sanctuary and off they go. And sometimes they come into the sanctuary and they're yapping and yapping and yapping, and they drive, like Brother Brown said, they drive the Holy Spirit out of that place. That's why I said, do your fellowshipping at home. In Acts 2 and 42, and they continued steadfastly. Right after, Acts 2.38 is the baptism, right? I mean, we're they're told to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise is unto you and to your children. Well, three verses later, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Steadfast, what does steadfast mean? Steve, steadfast, to be steadfast.
Sort of unstationary, permanent.
Sure, that's very good. Did you read that in the dictionary? Unstationary, permanent, locked in. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Notice the doctrine first. And so it should be in this hour, because Alpha must become Omega. And fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So that brings us to point number two. What does doctrine then do for you? Well, Brother Branham said, from Israel and the church, he said, now we have to come to full doctrine. Then he said, I like good old meetings where the people are shouting and having a good time and the power of God is moving, but wait until the showdown comes and you don't know where you're standing. In other words, good times, rock and roll music, you know, I mean, just let it hang out and just, you know, dance in the halls and everything else, dance in the aisles, everything else. He said, well, that's okay. But what good does it do you when it comes down, when the wheels hit the pavement? What's it going to do for you? You see, that's why doctrine is so important. He said, but wait until the showdown comes and you don't know where you're standing. Well, if the doctrine is engraved in your mind, in your soul, engrafted, you'll know where you're standing. And from enticing spirits, he said, we preach doctrine to keep the people lined up. That's right. And when the one finger goes out, three are pointing back. You see, God deals with my soul so that I can deal with yours. From three kinds of believers, he said, as long as Jesus was healing the sick, everything was okay. But when he began to preach his doctrine, well, the doctrine is what separated the chaff from the wheat. Now listen, doctrine's a separator. It surely is. And we've seen it in this hour. We've seen it all around the world. It sure is a separator. And in a sermon, Question and Answers on Hebrews, William Branham said, I mean, men who have the scripture, who knows all the doctrine and theologies, they can explain it, boy, just like that. But without spiritual revelation? That's right. That's the doctrine of Cain. The Bible said, woe unto them, because they went into the doctrine of Cain and run in the error of Balaam and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. In other words, it's all about this. Money, money, money. The same book, Judy, said, they was predestinated to this condemnation. Certainly are, see? So it's not how well you can speak. It's not how well you might be able to recite quotes or even know the, verses of Scripture, because they said to Brother Branham, well, you sure don't know your Bible, but he said, I know the author real well. I might not know verse and line and verse and line upon line, and you know, but I sure know the one who wrote it. I know what he meant when he said it. So you see, the doctrine by revelation, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the apostles, the same doctrine that is to restore the children to the fathers at the end time, is for our salvation, for our healing, for our redemption, for our coming into full maturity, that we might become manifested sons of God, manifesting the same God life as the eldest son in a vast family of brethren did. Now, I have a challenge for you. And that challenge is this. You go watch your movies. You go fill yourself up with your YouTubes and all these things. Because Brother Branham said, your soul hungers, and that's why men drink alcohol, is because they've got a thirst for the Word of God, but they fill it with something else. Or you go home and you study the doctrine of Christ. Study about Jesus. Go to the book of John, because that's my favorite, and that's really, John is more personal than the others. The others told it from a second hand or third hand. John told it first hand. He was there. You know, Luke wasn't there. John was there. Luke was a good historian. But John preached reality, taught reality. And you just read through and look at the life of Jesus Christ. And fill your minds with Him. And then you watch the difference in your life. You'll have a hunger and a thirst for the Word. But you've got to get yourself in the right atmosphere for it. Because if you sit there and just wander in your mind, and you can, listen, you can get on the internet and wander around the world 7 times and get nowhere. Get nowhere. And you can spend hours and hours. That's why we don't, as Christians, don't have TVs in our house. You can sit down and before you know it, you're watching 3, 4, 5 hours a night. You're vegetating. You get home, it's 5 at night from work. You put it on, you put your TV dinner on, and then at midnight, you haul yourself back into bed because you got to get up in the morning. And you wasted the entire evening being constructive and doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's why the minds of the people are the way they are today. I had kids when I was teaching junior high school that could hardly read the word the, but they could tell you what was on Monty Python at 2 o'clock in the morning. They couldn't even read a sentence. Ninth graders, 14-year-olds, couldn't read a full sentence, couldn't read a full paragraph. But they could tell you what was on at 2 o'clock in the morning and all the late shows and on Johnny Carson and all those things. Yeah. And that's what this nation has produced with its television. Like Brother Benson and their I Love Susie. People staying home from church watching TV instead of coming and worshiping God. Well, you see, the true doctrine by revelation, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the apostles, the same doctrine that was to restore the children to their fathers at the end time, is for our salvation. And it's for our healing. And it's for our redemption. And it's for our coming into full maturity that we might become manifested sons of God. Manifesting the same God life as the eldest son in a vast family of brethren did. We see Paul said in 1 Timothy 4 and 1 to 6 that doctrine nourishes you. Oh yeah. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, and if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of the good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. You want nourishment? It's in the doctrine. It'll feed your soul and it'll energize you. Now, if you're trying to live on a diet of Hostess Twinkies and Coca-Cola, you might have a short buzz, a short little moment of energy, and it lasts about like that. And that's the same thing as your YouTubes and everything else. It might titillate the mind, but does nothing for the soul. Searching for Planet X and all these other things might... Hey, listen. That might titillate the mind a little bit, but it does nothing for your soul. We know Brother Branham said there's going to be a nuclear holocaust that's going to destroy this earth and destroy this United States. It's not going to be some planet coming across the horizon unless that planet's full of nuclear bombs. And then you get into Anunnaki and all these other crazy ideas that they got. I mean, most of that stuff on Planet X was written by weirdos that talked with aliens and have chips planted in their brain, they say. The only chip they've got is a buffalo chip. A bunch of BS planted in their brains. Well, in verse 13 to 16, Paul says that the doctrine saves you. Till I come, he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that by profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so, doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Where's your salvation coming? It's through the doctrine. In Romans 6:17-18, we see that the doctrine sets you free. He says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you become the servant of righteousness. And again, in 1 Corinthians 14:6, Paul tells us that the doctrine is to profit you. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except that I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or prophesy or doctrine? So what good does speaking in tongues do? What good does dancing in the aisles do? But the doctrine will profit you. So revealed truth doctrine, that's for our profit. That's to add to. And that brings us to the point number three. Not just any doctrine will do, it must be God's own doctrine, His own teaching. Jesus said in John 6:44-45, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last days. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. You've got to learn before you can come. And you've got to hear before you can learn. Now, getting back to 2 John 9:11, whosoever transgresses, that means goes beyond the limits and does not remain in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. So what does that mean? It means you don't have God. You don't have the Holy Ghost. God is the Holy Ghost. And notice the word hath was translated from the Greek word echo. So it also means that those who do not remain in the doctrine of Christ do not echo God. They don't say what God says. You see? And he said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be truth, saith the Lord. So if you're not saying what God says, you're saying what your own self is saying. And let's read on. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both. Now the word both, according to the dictionary, means one and the other. Relating to or being to in conjunction, T-W-O. Not three, two. One who is Father, one who is Son. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If they come in unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Now, I had a brother last week in our chat. Can we have a chat thing goes around, email chat? And he said, well, I don't understand why John was so hard. He said, he that doesn't receive this doctrine, don't let him into your house. Because I mean, we shouldn't allow a minister to come and preach to our congregation who doesn't believe the doctrine of Christ. I said, yeah, that's right. Well, he said, that's not very, very good. That's not, and I said, Brother Brown said, if you have a Trinitarian in your pulpit, you have a false prophet in your pulpit. Paul said, and I gave him four other scriptures. Jesus said, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Brother Branham said, the church wants mixers, but God wants separators. There's like four scriptures in the New Testament alone. One by Jesus, two by Paul, one by John. They all say that if they don't have this doctrine, then don't. It says avoid them. That's what it says. Avoid them. Let them go. What good is it going to profit you? Now, those are very strong words by the Apostle John, but don't you think for one minute that God didn't place those words in John's mouth or on his pen? If those are not the words of God, but only the words of man, then rip them out of your Bible. Either that or deal with them. Because this Bible is the word of God to them that will receive it. All others will perish in the lake of fire because they add to and they take away from what God has said in this hour. And we're getting down to the... We're really, brother and sister, we're at the end time. He that shall take away from my word, God said, his part shall be taken away from the book of life. That's serious business. And he that will add to is going to be here for the plagues. Tribulation period. Well, Hebrews 13, 1-9. Let brotherly love continue, but be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby have some entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he that hath said, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So if you're occupied in meat, no meat, it's not profiting you any. That's exactly what he says here. He says, let your heart be established with grace. And in the doctrine, that what brings profit. But not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So get your minds back on the word and not whether you should eat meat or not eat meat. Paul said here that those who are occupied with meats and such, it is no profit to them. But what does profit you is the word of God, the doctrine of Christ. That is what you should focus on night and day. Now look, that is what the fivefold ministry is all about, to teach you the doctrine that you might grow up and be no more children tossed to and fro. Brother Brown said it begins with mental faith. You see, that's all we can do is give you the word. And then once you've got it in here, the Holy Spirit can anoint that and drop it into your soul. It becomes a dynamic revelation. Nobody could ever take it from you then. Ephesians 4, he says, and he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists, some pastors and some teachers. So look, there's teachers, that's plural. Not just one apostle, not just one prophet. For the perfecting of the saints, plural. For the maturing of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, they give them the word, they teach. Now, how are you going to come to unity of the faith if you're not taught the faith? Well, so that is the ministry of the fivefold offices that God set on the earth. People think a pastor is a guy who holds the people's hands and they babysit them. And as long as they're visiting and babysitting, they're a fine pastor. Listen, let me tell you something. That has nothing to do with being a fine pastor if he's off the word. That's not a pastor. That's a social worker. And we got one of those in the White House, and what's it done for this country? Huh, John? God did not call the ministry to be social workers. He called them to preach the gospel. Now notice why the five offices of God are to teach, and then to teach doctrine. The next verse in Ephesians 4:14, he says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Why do we teach? So that you don't get deceived. You don't get carried away. You don't stay children. You grow. In other words, it is a job of the fivefold to teach you the true Bible doctrine that you will not be tempted to go on with strange, non-biblical doctrine. But speaking the truth in love, you see, speaking the truth in love, not babysitting, not sitting in committees, not organizing programs, but teaching the word, the truth, the doctrine. He said, but teaching, speaking the truth in love. And love many times is corrective. But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God through their ignorance. That's in them. Because of the blindness of their heart, their understanding is blind. Who being past feeling, they have given themselves over unto lasciviousness and to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. It's all about teaching. So you see, the whole program of fivefold ministry is to teach, teach, and teach again, and again, and again, until you mature in the Word so that you cannot be deceived. But the churches have left the Spirit of God from leading them to man leading them. And where has that gotten them? Just look around and you see the way that people come to church wearing whatever they feel like wearing to church. In a nominal churches, they wear shorts and clothes that women should be ashamed of. To wear in the privacy of their own bedroom, they shouldn't even wear that kind of stuff, much less wearing it to church. And that's because God said man's righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Unholy, putrid. And there's coming a day of judgment right soon. So we had better take inventory. As Brother Rand preached, is your life worthy of the gospel? Well, I ask the question, is it? From 1 Timothy 1, verse 1 to 7, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do, that the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which have some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. In other words, look, don't get into all this black hole theories and all this other stuff going up. Like I told a good brother here recently, I had a good talk with him. And I said, brother, don't get so focused on that stuff. I'm going to tell you why. Guys like this Professor Stitchin, you know, he said, well, he claimed to be one of only four people in the world that could read these Sumerian texts. Well, there's other people that can read them. And see, the Mesopotamians, who came right after the Sumerians, they had all kinds of records and they had dictionaries and everything else with both words side by side. And this guy makes up stuff like these Anunnakis are, these are rocket people. And so they came, you know, 3,600 years ago, and they established this civilization, and they're you know, and it's all a bunch of gobbledygook. And if you know, and I don't mean to be cruel, and I probably shouldn't say this, and God forgive me for saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway, because it's under the blood. But the man looks not retarded, he looks insane. Now he's dead and gone on, so, you know, that's his lot. But the man started a cult following, and got a lot of people going, and then, of course, then these crazy people come along and say, well, an alien came, they implanted a chip in their brain, and they dissected them a little bit, you know, and had fun with them on the labs, you know, they're in their spaceships and all this kind of stupid stuff. and then they say, but, you know, there's a planet X is coming. So everybody goes, oh. And if you trace down about 99% of what's on the internet about planet X, I'm going to tell you where it comes from. It comes from two sources, Stitchin, and this woman that has the planted chip in her brain. And they're all saying the same thing she's saying, only with a little different hue. So, get your eyes on Christ. This stuff that we're having here, the weather and all this other stuff, that's part of a curse of God. It's not a part of the solar system going bonkers. Now, hey, something comes, that's fine. But that's God's business, not mine. And you know what? There's nothing you can do about it anyway. You can't save yourself. You can't burrow your way 50 miles into the ground because it's going to crush you. It's all coming, brother, sister. You bet it is. The governments are afraid. They've probably been listening to aliens too. and you know, they're gobbling up your trillions of dollars in your taxes to hide themselves in the earth. Well, Brother Branham said it won't do them any good. the atomic bombs will shake 100 miles deep, you know, 150 miles round. But desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. When you trace things down, you find out where people go off. I've listened to people that were contemporaries of this so-called Professor Stitchin. They said, the man doesn't even understand Sumerian, he can't read it. Things that his definitions are completely different from the Mesopotamian definitions, and they had bilingual dictionaries. So he's claiming one thing, and he said, now listen, here's the thing. We are living in an age of deception. It is so deceiving that it'll catch everyone except the very elect, because the very elect will come right back to the Word. But the things are so close, you know, but it's so deception. When you have a man come along who claims to be an expert in languages, but how do you know that? How do you know that? He claims something for himself, and you go along gullibly and you say, okay, well, this is pretty good because this guy knows. How do you know that he knows? Frankly, I don't trust anybody but William Branham. That's right. Thus saith the Lord, from a vindicated prophet. And you say, well, what about yourself? As long as I'm saying what he said, as long as I'm saying what the Scripture says, you can trust me. Now, by God's grace, I'm submitted to that. But that's my problem. And that's yours too. Am I telling you what William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, said? Am I telling you what the Scripture says? You've got it right here. It's laying right out in front of you. You can go on the internet and read every word that I say. And check it out yourself. Nobody else will do that on the internet. Oh, they might put their videos on, but you know what? Get your Bible out. Read it for yourself. Years ago, we had a guy come to the church, and behind my back, organized a Friday night meeting where he was going to preach in one of the brothers' houses. When I caught wind of it, I gave everybody in the church a tape from Brother Branham. Says, you're not supposed to have a meeting without the pastor being there. So finally, they invited me to come. And the guy had this doctrine that you had to have a vision of Jesus Christ in order to receive the Holy Ghost. And so he gets there and he's preaching and he quotes Brother Branham, and you've got to have vision. And I said, brother, he didn't say that. He says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I said, this is my congregation. Read it again. And so he read it again. You've got to have vision. I said, brother, he didn't say that. Read it again. And finally, Brother Brown said, you've got to have revelation. Now this guy had taken revelation and made it vision, twisting the word of God, right in the presence of everybody, exposed himself because I made him read it again. And people say, well, Brian Kosorik's a hard guy. Yeah, you know what? That's right. That's right. And you better be a hard guy too when it comes to the Word. You better take your stand. I know some of you did, John, when you were a young guy. You took a pretty good stand. Keep taking it, brother. Keep taking it. Because that's the way you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be... Look, go over to Israel sometime. Talk to a Jew. He don't give you 3 feet of space. He's right in your nose. Nose to nose. And he's yelling while you're yelling. And he doesn't get offended that you're yelling. Because he's yelling too. But see, they're passionate about what they understand and what they believe. And we should be passionate about what we believe as well. Not just lay back, you know, just moly-boly Christians. Passionate. Loving it. He that loves his appearing. What do you say about that? Everybody else is going to be deceived but him that loves his appearing. You see, and again he exhorted the church in Romans 16:17. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and contrary and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Oh, everybody says, well, you know, brother, I don't care what doctrine he believes, but you know, he's a good man and this and that, you know. But oh, that brother there though, you know, he spits on the street. Brother Vell says, the Pentecostal says, you're going to hell because you spit in the street, but they can go out and fornicate and everything else. They're okay. No, Paul didn't say, mark them that spit on the street. He didn't say, mark them that passes gas in your presence. Now, I'm being crude purposely here. I want you to mind your thing. He said, mark them that are contrary to the doctrine and avoid them. Avoid them. Why? Because it's poison to your soul. (Clears throat) You see, that's exactly what John said in 2 John 9 and 10. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple. Fair speeches. Oh yeah, good words. Wouldn't it be nice if the pastor would one day come in and say, oh, you people are just the chosen of God, you're the cream of the crop, you're this and that. Yeah, it'd make you feel pretty good, wouldn't it? Pretty soon you get pretty milky too. I'd rather have a prophet of God, William Branham, I'd rather be sitting right in front of him and have his eyes burning a hole through my soul. At least I know that that part of my soul is clean. All right? Okay, Matthew 16, verse 6 to 12. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake unto you concerning bread? But that you should beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Jesus was telling them, beware of their doctrine. And why is that? Because a little leaven leavens a whole lump. It's infectious. So keep away from anything that's not true manna. And keep the leaven away from the manna, or you're going to spoil it. And that brings us to point number 4, which is to mark those who are preaching the true doctrine and those who are not. Martin Luther said in his Bondage of the Will, it's a tremendous book if you ever like to borrow it, just come and let me know. Entitled Erasmus versus Martin Luther's Understanding of Free Will, Erasmus was a humanist and contemporary Martin Luther. He was considered the greatest intellect in Europe in his day, and yet listen to what he said in his article against Luther called The Diatribe. He said, the churchman should be wise not to bother his head about problems of doctrinal definition, but to concern himself simply with guiding his life by the moral law of Christ. In other words, don't get contentious about doctrine. Don't rightly divide doctrine. Just forget about it. Just live a good life. He sounds to me like so many of the ministers right in this message. But that is only a humanist thinking and not that of the Holy Ghost-filled man. Now you say, well, get off the ministers and the message. Just let me tell you something. Are you in the Baptist church? If you're in the Baptist church, I'd say, it sounds like a bunch of Baptists to me. But you're in the message. You associate with message people. And I'm telling you, that's the way the preachers are. A young man years ago went to a minister's convention up in northwest Canada, and the guy who calls himself the teacher, at that meeting anyway, he's not there anymore, but he said, listen, young ministers, he said, don't concern yourselves with the doctrine. Stay away from that. It just causes contention in the church. Just focus on music and the things that you can do for the people. It's exactly what Erasmus said, and Luther called him an idiot. Spiritual idiot. How do you grow without understanding doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. How are you going to get from first grade to 12th grade without a little teaching? You see? On the other hand, Martin Luther's attitude was very different. To Martin Luther, Christianity was a matter of doctrine first and foremost. Because true religion was first and foremost a matter of faith. And what is faith? Revelation. See? And faith is correlative to truth. In other words, it is dependent on truth. Faith is trust in God through Jesus Christ as He stands revealed in the gospel. Luther's first concern as a theologian and reformer was with doctrine. He said, I'm not concerned with the life, but with the doctrine. And he distinguished himself as different from the other reformers because they focused only on the evils of the Pope's scandalous life, while he focused on the evil of the Pope's doctrine. Now that's the problem. See, a lot of people will sit in a church for years and years and years and they say, well, the man's a good man. Doesn't matter what he's preaching, he's a good man. But they'll leave a church and say, whoa, the man committed adultery. Well, yeah, but what was his doctrine first? You're going to have an adulterous doctrine before you're going to commit adultery. Happens every time. Brother Bell told me years ago when up in Minneapolis, the church we attended, the pastor speaking in tongues, everything else in the congregation, and brother Val told me, he said, listen, he said, they go to that, they go to the gifts, and then the next thing is adultery in the church. And wouldn't you know, the most spiritual sister in the church ends up on the floor, and she was working a cleaning job, and ends up on the floor with an old high school fling. The most spiritual, though. Yeah. But where was their doctrine? It was idolatry, adultery. You see? It always goes that way. Brother Bell told me years ago, he said that's what happened with Cain and Abel. Cain, they left the word. With Eve. She left the word and then it went to adultery. You see? And Martin Luther said, I'm not concerned with the life, but with the doctrine. And Luther felt that revelation is not a mere hit or miss rationalization, but a definitive knowledge and understanding about the God that we serve. And he said where he was set different from all the other reformers is they focused on the theft by the Vatican of all the gold and this and that and the indulgences and Martin Luther and all the scandalous things. I mean, Pope Gregory II had 22 illegitimate children while he was Pope. Pope Joan, yeah, there was a Pope, there's a woman Pope. She died giving childbirth. Ever since then, they've got a throne that when a man is chosen as Pope, they have a physician reach under, there's a hole in the seat, and make sure that he's a man. Yeah, they do that. Pretty filthy, isn't it? But you know what? Their righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Yeah. How many of them had illegitimate children? How many cardinals were made a cardinal when they're 6 months old because their dad bought it for them? That makes them spiritual, doesn't it? You see, their righteousness is nothing but filthy, filthy rags. Well, the Apostle Paul taught us that you know a man by his doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. And Brother Branham is teaching his children to discern, in teaching his children to discern right and wrong. He turned on the radio while they're going down the road. He said, now I want you to listen to this preacher for 5 minutes. I'm going to shut it off, and I want you to tell me what denomination he is. Now, why is that? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and out of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You're going to speak what you are. And it's going to come out in the form of what you teach. Again, the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17, let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, we have several pages left, but I think we're running low on time. So I hope I've got the message across. The importance of doctrine, brother, sister, is more important than you know. It is the single most important thing to us as Christians to know where you stand. How many people in this message have you met? Tape listeners that you've met that haven't got a clue as to what they really believe. Oh, but Brother Branham said, I believe it. Okay, brother, what did he say? On this particular thing here, what did he say? Like they say, well, Brother Vail was, Brother Vail was, he quoted Brother Branham in a certain sermon, but he didn't say Brother Branham said it. And some of them got up and afterwards said, well, Brother Branham said this and blah, 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 and he's wrong, blah, 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 blah. And Brother Vail said, well, I said what Brother Branham said. You see? Like the guy that came to me in Uganda. He said, you're stirring up our people. I said, well, that's good, because everywhere Paul went, there was no small stir. And he said, well, why do you come here? Why do you do these things? I said, let me ask you something, brother. I said, do you believe that the body of Jesus Christ was God? He said, yes, I do. I said, well, then you don't believe Brother Branham, because he said the body was not deity, but deity dwelt in the body. And I told them, 230 ministers there. And I told them, I said, you people do not believe that William Branham was a vindicated prophet of God. Because if you did, you'd teach what he said. We find even people, I don't want to get too personal. Ministers, big name ministers, you ask them what they believe on a certain subject, they won't tell you. They won't tell you. And when they go overseas, they won't answer questions concerning doctrine because they don't know. And if they did know, they'd be proud to tell you, because it'd be a flame in their heart. They'd be passionate about what they believe. But they're only interested in one thing, and that's me, myself, and I. Three things, I guess. Money, money, money. Money, women, popularity. Well, they might not say the women, but, you know, like Jimmy Swaggart, he proved himself that that's what he was interested in. The money, the women, and the popularity. How many ministers have bit the dust with a woman in this message? I could name a dozen of them. Had pretty good ministries going, pretty good followings going, end up in adultery. Yeah. What about popularity? Listen, I'd rather preach to this few here, and if some of you want to go, that's up to you. I'd rather preach to the four posts, as Brother Branham said, and preach the truth. And know that one day I have to stand at the White Throne Judgment. Everything I preached is on tape. It's going to be played back. And you're going to stand there because you're going to stand there when it's played. And he's going to say, he preached it. He quoted my scriptures. He quoted my vindicated prophet. Why didn't you do it? Yeah. We're not here to play church. We're not here to have fun and games. We're here because this is a serious day and hour. This world is coming to an end. Everything's coming to an end. Politics is coming to an end. The world's finances are coming to an end. Economy. The churches have come to an end. One of these days, life is coming to an end. Because you know why? Because they've hybrid almost all the plant seeds. And when you've hybrid, it can't reproduce itself. And they are here to control. And as we read the quote, Brother Branham said, and slavery is coming. Slavery. You're already working till August now for the government. One of these days you'll be working till December 31st for the government. If they were to tax you to pay off this indebtedness, they'd have to tax 100% of everything that you make. And they still couldn't pay it off. So you know Big Sister's going to come around, Big Mama, because she has all the gold. So we've got a lot of things to think about, brother, sister. But number one, get focused on the doctrine. Because that is your life. That is your salvation. That is your rock of ages. That's your cleft in the rock. And that's what's going to get you out of here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to bless it, anoint it, Father. May it truly ring true to our hearts, our souls, O God. And may we change, Father. May we become more focused. Maybe become more consecrated and dedicated. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's just sing that song. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed again unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know, believe it, and am persuaded that he is a which I have committed unto him against that day.